glad to be here this morning, and we're continuing our Advent series this year. I always love the Advent series. It's my favorite time of the year, I confess. I've debated, what if we did a year-round Advent series, right? We just sing songs of the coming Messiah year-round. Anybody object? We'll take a vote on it afterwards. But I have a list of songs already picked out. This Sunday, we're going to be continuing our series, and it's titled Jesus, Son of. And there are a number of different titles that Jesus had and has. And last week, we looked at Jesus, Son of Mary. We saw a little bit of Jesus' humanity through that story and through the scripture and through the sharing of Pastor Vernon. This week we're going to look at Jesus, son of Joseph, and I was excited, and I had a good time just exploring the scriptures as I dove into this scripture, in particular because this Christmas, or this Advent series, my daughter is a little bit older, and she's able to understand the Advent, the coming of the Christ, a little bit more, right? She has a limited amount of words, but I'm trying to just share with her. You know, last year she was, I guess, around 5 months old, right? So this year she's around 17 months old. Yesterday we were at the mall and I was trying to point out the Christmas tree. You know, I can't explain to her, like, the reasoning behind, you know, Christmas. And then there was that guy in his Santa in the, red coat. Honestly, she wasn't interested in him. She just wanted to see the big tree, I guess. 17 months, that's what counts. But as she gets older, you know, I'm excited to share with her the Advent story. And we're doing little bit by little. We're starting with the tree, and then we'll go from there. But let me read the scripture this morning, and we're going to see a little bit more of Jesus' his testimony and his story. We're going to see the fingerprints of God through this series. The scripture this morning is found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. It's in your bulletin. It'll be up here in the board. It's in your Bibles. This is the reading of God's word. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. The birth of the Messiah, the birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." Now, all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "See, the virgin will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and they will name him Emmanuel," which is translated "God with us." When Joseph got up from sleeping, he did as the Lord's angel had commanded him. He married her, but did not know her intimately until she gave birth to a son, and he named him Jesus. So, this morning we're going to look into the Advent story in relation to Joseph and Jesus. One of the titles that we have for Jesus given in the Bible is Jesus, son of Joseph. Now, just a little bit about Joseph so that we're all on the same page. Joseph, he is actually one of the people in the New Testament that I would like to get to know more, being a new father, or newer father, 17 months into it. I want to, kind of see what the scripture says about Joseph. I would like to ask him questions, things like that. What's it like to be the earthly father and the son of God? honestly, in the scriptures, we don't have that much information about Joseph. Now, we have a lot about Mary. I've done a number of sermons on Mary. And in fact, we get to see Mary all throughout the ministry and the life of Jesus. She's there at the birth. She's there all throughout his even in childhood and middle ministry. We even see a picture of Mary after the resurrection. So we get to see a lot of Mary, but the written record of Joseph is not as comprehensive. We're given bits and pieces of Joseph's life. But honestly, and I'm not the only one that would say this, but we might have more questions than answers when it comes to the timeline and the detail of Joseph's life. But we do have information about Joseph. So I'm going to share a little bit about that this morning. And let me start with Matthew. So Matthew, he mentions, Matthew and Luke, they both mention Joseph. And they kind of start with Joseph by giving his family lineage. Like they say where he came from. And you can look that up yourself. And they give the family tree of Joseph and all the way back, I mean, millennium back. And, but honestly, these family trees of Joseph, they bring up more questions than answers. I mean, it's almost like they were given this to give more clarity as to who is this Joseph guy, the earthly father of Jesus. But if you look any research on the internet or in commentaries, you're going to find that there's a lot of discussions in regards to these lineages of Joseph. Nobody's doubting them, but there's a lot of different questions that come up. Like, were you tracing his mom or tracing Joseph's dad? Or there's a lot of different questions coming up. So looking into the family lineage of Joseph honestly brings up more questions. But there are some details that we know about Joseph. Among those is something, one detail that we just read in Matthew 1:19, we're told that Joseph was a righteous man. Matthew 1:19 tells us. We're given his occupation. Most people know that Joseph was a carpenter, although that word is debatable as well. Is a carpenter or stone worker? I'm really not sure exactly what that was and where he worked at. But we do know that Joseph's ancestors were from the town of Bethlehem. He belonged to the line of King David from the Old Testament. We know that Joseph was a religious man. We read in the scriptures that Joseph, that he dedicated Jesus at the temple when Jesus was only, I believe, 8 days old. Joseph observed the religious festivals and the holy days. He was a righteous man. He was a religious, zealous man. He would bring Jesus and along with Mary to Jerusalem every single year for the Passover festival. This is what Luke tells us about Joseph. He says, every year, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover festival. When Jesus was 12 years old, they attended the festival as usual. That was a common thing. Like, Joseph was a righteous parent. He was religiously zealous. And he would bring his son and his family to the temple to celebrate these festivals. We also know from the scriptures that Joseph was one of the roles that God had assigned to him was to be the protector of Jesus as Jesus' earthly father. Looking at the nativity story, we see that Joseph took Jesus to Egypt to protect him. You remember when Herod had sent the people to kill the babies in Bethlehem? And Joseph was warned in a dream to take his son and Mary to Egypt. Later on, Joseph also protected Jesus from Herod's son, which is his name is Archelaus. When Joseph was returning to Israel, an angel warned him, this is in Matthew chapter 2, warned him not to go back, to go to Nazareth to take Jesus there. So Joseph fulfilled this role like in Jesus' life as father, and amongst the details of that, he was a protector of Jesus. And Joseph was a husband to Mary. And together, both Joseph and Mary, they were given the privilege, but also the huge, huge responsibility of raising the Son of God. So for the next few minutes, we're just going to dive deeper into the story of Joseph in relation to the Advent. And we're going to answer two questions that I believe, and I hope, and it did for me, it will lead us closer to the heart and to the mind of God. And these are the two questions. Why Joseph? And did Jesus have two fathers? So why did God choose Joseph? And did Jesus have two fathers? So if you'll pray with me, and then we'll dive into our sermon. Let's pray. Father God, in our prayers, we call you Father. And you are our Father. And some of us, like myself, are learning what it means to be a father. And we see this word, Father, written in the scriptures, Old Testament and New Testament. And today we are diving into the life and the story of Joseph, the father, the earthly father of Jesus. And I pray, God, that you will reveal your fingerprints in this story. Help us to see more of your mind and your heart, Father, as you chose Joseph, as you commissioned him to be protector, to be an earthly father of Jesus. And help us to know more of you. This is my simple prayer. In your name, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. So let's start with our first question. Now, these are questions that I just came up with. I was studying Joseph, the life of Joseph, the Advent story, just reading over and over through the scriptures and researching in Latin. And when it came to the life of Joseph, these are two questions that I had. There are many more questions. A lot of people want to know, when did he die? where was he? What type of occupation? There's all these big questions out there. But I chose two questions just for the sake of time, and I think that this will help us know a little bit more about Joseph. It did for me, so. The first question is, why Joseph? And then, so along the lines, why did God choose Joseph? So Joseph was a righteous man. The scripture tells us this. He was a zealous man. I mean, if you're going to choose somebody to be the earthly father, the son of God, you want a righteous person. You want a religious, zealous person. Along also included, kind of a bonus, but I think a necessity, that David was from the royal lineage. Joseph was from the royal lineage of David. So this helped fulfill one of those prophecies. So it's almost God's checking off his checklist, check, 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 this guy's doing good so far. But the question is, what made Joseph so special that God chose him for this task? I don't want you to get me wrong. I'm not second doubting God, I know that God, with all my being, I know that he knows what he's doing. And God chose Joseph. But if you want to better understand this Advent, the story of God becoming flesh, you have to ask yourself, why Joseph? You may have never done that, but I did, and so we're going to look at that right now. So, along those lines, if you're investigating why Joseph, you have to ask the question, were there other alternatives? Joseph, why not the high priest? Right? It would have, if Jesus were the son of the high priest, it would have gone really far with the Sadducees and the Pharisees, right? When it came to time of conflict, your dad's a high priest, maybe we will listen to you. Why not a high priest? Or for that matter, why not a warrior? Can you imagine if Jesus' earthly father was a warrior? How many followers have been following Jesus? Your dad's a general. you know what you're doing. We're going to fight these Romans. Follow Jesus. How about that? Or how about, what if Jesus' earthly father were rich or prestigious or powerful? I imagine, if you're reading the story for the first time, you might be thinking that. But who was Jesus' father? He was a carpenter, from a small town. This is kind of getting into the mind of God. And if you truly investigate the story of how God became flesh, you need to ask yourself these little questions that are actually big questions. And perhaps in the little details, you will see the fingerprints of God. I'll repeat that. In the little details, you might just see the fingerprints of God. So, in my own personal research, this is another question, kind of along the same lines of inquiry as why Joseph. You need to ask yourself, were there alternatives? Like I said, there could have been a high priest, or there could have been a general, could have been somebody wealth of power, but God chose a carpenter from a small town. Along that same line of thinking, and this is the way I think, you might find it interesting, you might not, but why did Jesus need an earthly father at all? Have you ever thought about that? And again, we're trying to find God in the details. The Bible tells us that Jesus clearly had some protectors around him. I mean, these protectors in the Bible are what's called angels. From the time of Jesus' birth all the way to his ascension, Jesus was in contact with angels. They were there. They were clearly written, and Jesus communicated when they were there. When he was a child, an angel of the Lord spoke to Joseph to warn him of these murders that were about to happen in Bethlehem. So we have these angels interacting with Jesus' family, with Joseph. An angel told Joseph to take Mary to Egypt. Another time, an angel directed Joseph in a dream to take Mary and Jesus back to Israel after Herod had died, and that's Matthew chapter 2. In Matthew chapter 3, after Jesus was tempted in the desert for 40 days by the devil, guess who showed up? They were angels. They showed up. And it says that they attended to Jesus. I mean, Jesus had been so thirsty and hungry. And instead of, disciples or somebody, angels showed up and took care of Jesus. In Matthew chapter 26, when Jesus was arrested in a garden in Gethsemane, he took his sword and he cut off the high priest's servant's ear. And Jesus commanded Peter, he said, put that sword back. And then this is what Jesus said after that. He said, Peter, put your sword back in its place, because all who take up the sword will perish by the sword. And this is what we're looking at. Or do you not, this is Matthew 26, 53. And he says, Or do you think that I cannot call on my Father, and he will provide me at once with more than 12 legions of angels? How then would the scripture be fulfilled that said it must happen this way? So a legion, by the way, is 72,000 angels. So Jesus is saying, do you not think that any moment I can call on my Father and he will send 72,000 angels to my side, to my aid? So if angels were readily available, why the need for an earthly father? I mean, angels attended to Jesus in time of need. They protected Jesus in time of danger, or they were available to protect him. So it's a question that should be asked if you're not asking this question along the lines of why Joseph. And along this train of thought, we would also ask the question, or at least I did, was Jesus self-sustaining? I mean, think about this, and this is just kind of getting into some examples in the scriptures. Jesus could turn water into wine. All right, now, I hope this isn't turning blasphemous, but like, what if you could turn water into milk or something? I don't know. It's just self-sustaining. Like, he multiplied a ton of bread and fish out of just a few bread and fish. Like, he's food and substance, liquid substance, seems to be not an issue for Jesus. How about money? In Matthew chapter 17, we get this story about the need to pay for taxes. And Jesus tells Simon, he said, just cast a net into the sea and catch a fish, and that fish will have money in his mouth. And it's a cool story, but it's found in Matthew 17. So Jesus potentially could be self-sustaining, in regards to food, liquid, money, and protection from angels. Or, if that's not good enough for you, then God could have just sent like manna and quail, right? Like he did for the Israelites in the desert. Or he could have sent ravens, right, to protect them. To give them food like Elijah. So when I'm investigating this story, I'm looking into Joseph, and it's not been looked into that much. But when I look into it, I'm asking this question: why Joseph? Like, he wasn't really like, there's nothing extremely great about him. I mean, he's not a warrior. He's not prestigious. He's not a high priest. In fact, like, did Jesus even need an earthly father? And these are the questions that I ask, and I think would help us know more about God through these questions. So these are all hypothetical and speculative, like these questions. But along those same lines, let me just go one step further. What if Joseph said no? Like, you ever thought about that? Like, God and we're not robots, right? We have free will. Like, what if God said, Joseph, I want you to be the father of the Son of God, and And Joseph said no. I mean, if you're reading this story for the first time, you know, all of us have, most of us, if not all of us, have read this story for so many different times. And we know that Joseph is going to say, yeah, I accept this mission. Right? But if you're reading this story for the first time, you might be asking, like, is Joseph going to take it? Is he going to say, yeah? You know, like, just thinking about it for myself, if I were about to get married to a woman, a good woman, and she came to me and she said, you know, I'm pregnant, and it's from God, and it happened supernaturally. I mean, like, can you think of the position that Joseph was in? And Joseph had to think about it, just like I would have to think about it. And that's why I like digging deeper into this story, asking the questions that nobody is asking. It helps us understand the finer details of this story, see the bigger picture. So let me give you my answer, and this is just my answer of why I believe that God chose Joseph. Why Joseph? I wasn't there during the selection process. I don't know exactly how God chose Joseph. I watched The Voice. You guys watched The Voice? Or like American Idol? They always have this table and they're like, have all these pictures. They're like this one, that one, that one. And they're like, they whittle it down to one. Like, I don't know. Is that the way that God works? I don't know. But we do know that he narrowed it down. Maybe it's only ever one. But we do know that he chose Joseph. I don't know how God chose Joseph or why, but here's why I believe that God chose Joseph. I do believe that God chose Joseph. God choosing Joseph has something to do with this royal lineage, being from the line of David. See, there were prophecies out there that Jesus would be from the line of David. I do know that had something to do with it. I also think that God choosing Joseph has something to do with being married to Mary. I mean, it definitely had something to God chosen Mary to be the earthly mother of Jesus. And Joseph was engaged to be married. So, you know, I think that did have something. It had played a role in God choosing Joseph. And Joseph was a righteous man. And Joseph was a religious, zealous man of God. He observed the law and celebrated the festivals. But here is the reason that I believe that God chose Joseph to be the father, the monumental task, to be the father of the Son of God. And here's my belief. Because Joseph was just like you and me. Like Joseph, I believe that God chose Joseph because he was just like you and me. And if you read the scriptures, Joseph, he struggled with those difficult decisions, those difficult choices. You know, God, Mary came to him, and then the scriptures say he went away to think about it. Like, and then the angel interjected there and spoke to him. But he struggled to make these difficult decisions, kind of like you and I do. He feared for his family. I mean, he and Mary, they got up out of there, you know, and they left to Egypt. He feared for his family. He did the best that he could when Jesus was born. I mean, we know the story, right? Like, Jesus was born in a manger. It wasn't even a hotel available. Like, I'm almost feeling as a father, like Joseph's, like, his struggle, like, as a father, even before he was a father. He's real. I mean, like, his struggles are real, and we can relate to him. And in fact, I don't see a superhuman when I look at Joseph. I see somebody that was ordinary, and somebody that was relatable, somebody that was human, somebody that was just like you and me. We struggle with all of these difficult choices, especially when it comes to being a parent. I can relate to that, especially. And this is what I say, that what made Joseph special was not that he was extraordinary. Like, he wasn't a high priest, he wasn't a warrior, he wasn't all of these things. But what made Joseph special was that he allowed God to use them in extraordinary ways. What made Joseph special was that he allowed God to use them in extraordinary ways. Joseph was willing to accept this mission. You guys see Mission Impossible, right? It's like, if you choose to accept this mission, like, that's literally what God was doing there. Joseph's like all happy, and I'm going to get married to Mary, and we're going to have a good old time, and good family. And then Mary, like, dropped, you know, this bomb on him, and she's like, I'm pregnant, and it's from God. and then it's like, if you so choose to accept this mission, you know, I don't think the message is self-destructive, but he did choose. And he was just an ordinary person, like you and me, but God used him in extraordinary ways through this calling and through this mission that God had for Joseph. And I was thinking about this as well. When I'm thinking about Joseph, by my estimation and my opinion, I think that Joseph is possibly the most famous and extraordinary dad in all of history. This is an opinion. You can debate me. You can say your dad is. Don't want to step on toes or anything. But when thinking about it, who's the most famous dad in all of history? The Bible was written as the most popular book in all of history. And then Joseph is quite possibly the most famous and extraordinary dad in all of history. I don't think we give him enough credit. And now as a clarification to that, God the Father is the most important and most famous and most amazing dad ever. But in terms of like popularity for human dads, I think that Joseph wins first prize there. In my opinion, you may have a different opinion. And guess what? God made that happen. It wasn't anything that Joseph did. God made this ordinary man into something extraordinary. And we see that time and time again. Like, in the Bible, this is the way that God works. Like Moses. I don't know the exact translation, but it has something to do with like stuttering, or he had a difficulty saying words. But God used them in extraordinary ways. There was Esther, there was Gideon, there was David, there was the 12 disciples. Like, they weren't like superheroes. They were like ordinary men that God was using in extraordinary ways. And then Mary was amazing, and Joseph was in that crowd as well. So if God can take this human being, if he can take us, and this is a promise and offering that he offers to us, and he can make us be reborn into a spiritual life, into an eternal life. Or if God can take away death, which I know of no other one that can do that. If God can take away death, or if he can take away the sins of the world, if he can be born of a virgin in the flesh, then God can use ordinary men and women and take them on extraordinary journeys. And that's what I'm seeing like here in the Advent story. So I believe that God chose Joseph so that he could do something extraordinary through the ordinary. And in that way, God gets the glory. He gets all of the glory. So quickly, we'll just answer the second question. And it may seem like a funny question, but does Jesus have two fathers? Right? I mean, we're the title of the sermon is Jesus, son of Joseph. So was Joseph his father? Or like, was God the father, his father? Who did he call father? You know, did he spell him? I said, was it one Abba and was it something else? Like, I don't know. Like, that's the question. And again, we're looking at this to kind of see the fingerprints of God in this Advent story. And these are questions you probably never asked yourself, but I think that it reveals more of God in this story. Let me read the scripture again. This is kind of looked at this just a minute ago, and this will help us answer this question. Did Jesus have two fathers? In Matthew 1:18-21, this is what it says. The birth of Jesus Christ came about this way. After his mother, Mary, had been engaged to Joseph, it was discovered before they came together that she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. So her husband, Joseph, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her publicly, decided to divorce her secretly. But after he had considered these things, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what has been conceived in her is by the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So before God intervened in the story, the scriptures tell us that Joseph was about to exit stage right. Like literally, he in the secret, like he was about to like divorce her. So in the private, and privately, so that he didn't disgrace her publicly. Like if God hadn't, if God the Father hadn't like intervened in the story, Joseph would be, Joseph would be an afterthought. We wouldn't even know. Joseph wouldn't be the most famous dad, earthly dad, in all of the world, in all of history. But so before God intervened, Joseph was out of here. He didn't want to be a part of this anymore. He didn't want to be a part of this before it even started. But God, the Father, wanted Joseph to be a part of this story. And that's why he sent an angel to Joseph. And he said, he let him know it's going to be okay. In fact, he communicated to him that, I really want you to be a part of this. This is like my translation. Like, Joseph, please come be a part of this Advent story. Don't exit stage right. In fact, God even said, I don't know if it's like a bonus or what, but he's like, and I'll let you name the kid. Like, you can give him the name. His name will be Jesus, but you can give it to him. Like, I don't know if that's like throwing a bone to him. Come on. I don't know. This is my Advent. But I enjoy looking at the Advent story from this perspective. So God the Father wanted Joseph to be a part. God the Father wanted Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus. We can see that in this scripture and other scriptures. What does Luke say, the author Luke say about this? Luke says this. This is in Luke's words describing Joseph, how he describes Joseph. So this is Luke chapter 2, verse 27 to 33. Luke says this. When the parents brought in a child, and talking about Jesus, Mary and Joseph bring Jesus to the temple to have him dedicated. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to perform for him what was customary under the law, Simon took him up in his arms, praised God, and said, his father and mother were amazed at what was being said about him. Now, this is the author Luke describes Joseph as Jesus' father. So, Jesus, God the Father wanted Joseph to be a father to Jesus. Luke describes Joseph by the word father. Matthew, let's look at Matthew. Matthew 13, 54 to 55. Matthew, using his own words, tell us what the people around him thought about Joseph. Like in his relationship to Jesus. He says this, and this is Matthew 13, 54. And he said, Jesus went to his hometown and began to teach them in their synagogue. So that they were astonished, and they said, how did this wisdom and these miracles come to him? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Like, isn't his mother called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Matthew describes Jesus as the carpenter's son, and we know later by comparing verses, they're talking about Joseph. So Matthew uses the word son, like Jesus is Joseph's son. What does John say about him? You can just walk all day through these verses. I'm just going to show you the last one here. John says this, and he's talking about one of the disciples, Philip, and his first encounter actually with Jesus. And this is what Philip says about Jesus and Joseph in the words of John. This is John 1:44 to 45. Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the hometown of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law. And so did the prophets. Jesus, the son of Joseph from Nazareth. So Philip, one of Jesus' closest disciples, calls Jesus the son of Joseph. So we're seeing like a pattern here. Let me just kind of summarize what we see from these few scriptures here. That God the Father wanted Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus. We also see through the book of Luke that Joseph was considered Jesus' parent. Through the book of Matthew, we see that Joseph was Jesus' father. And we also see Matthew and John that the people who knew Jesus and his family considered Jesus to be Joseph's son. So, if God wanted Joseph to be the earthly father of Jesus, and everybody around them, including the townspeople and those closest to him, and the writers of the New Testament, all called Jesus and his father's son and father, then I can only come to the conclusion that Jesus considered Joseph his father. He was his earthly father. Now, kind of along the same line, but in a much bigger way, did Jesus also consider God the Father his father? There are tons of scriptures. I'm just going to do one scripture just to show you. And the answer is yes. Jesus considered God the Father his father as well. In fact, he repeatedly, time after time after time, called God the Father his father. This is perhaps one of the most famous places, I guess, to put it that way. It's in John 5, 16 through 18. This actually got him in a lot of trouble. Jesus, he says this and he gets them, they start to try to kill him after this. But Jesus says this, so therefore the Jews began persecuting Jesus because he was doing these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus responded to these people and he said, my Father is still working and I am working also. He's talking about working on the Sabbath. This is why the Jews began trying all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. Jesus also considered God the Father his Father. So, in conclusion, to answer the second question, does Jesus have two fathers? My answer would be yes. Jesus has an earthly father and a heavenly father. And at least the Heavenly Father in the Scripture specifically refers to him as Father. And let me end with this. It's a hope that this is just a short time. We only have a few moments to spend together each Sunday. I encourage you to research the Scriptures and to read them yourself and to ask these difficult questions. If you were investigating the story, you probably want to investigate the eyewitnesses, but also investigate the individual people involved in the story. One of them is Joseph. And I just want to encourage you that as we dive deeper into this Advent series over the next 4 weeks, I believe we have four more weeks, and as we explore the scriptures, hopefully they reveal to us more the heart and the mind and the fingerprints of God. And I hope that we see a more profound image of Jesus and his father, and the details of this amazing story of salvation that is offered to the entire world. Last week, we looked at Jesus, son of Mary. This week, we looked at Jesus, son of Joseph. And next week, we're going to look at Jesus, son of David.